I hope you've been enjoying the Summer Nights edition of On the Odd. As I had previously stated, this summer I am releasing all 45 episodes that were thought of as lost. Every day I get about a dozen emails to share stories, personal accounts, or things that are just simply strange. If you would like to be a part of the future of On the Odd, please email me at mark, M-E-R-K, at ontheodd.com. I would love to hear from you. Please enjoy this episode.
From the paranormal to the extraordinary, from the weird to the wonderful, this is On the Odd.
Tonight's guest's name is Michael Horn, and he is the American media representative for the Billy Meier UFO Contacts. Meier's evidence includes more than 1,200 stunningly clear UFO photos, films, and video, as well as sound recordings, metal samples, and over 26,000 pages of information, with specific examples of prophecies that are accurately scientific and world events related, world-related information. I'm sorry, kind of blurped on that. Billy Meier is also the source of abundant, specific, and accurate prophetic information. Michael is the writer, producer, and director of the award-winning new film, And Did They Listen?, as well as the co-producer of the new documentary, As the Time Fulfills, which presents an abundance of evidence that authenticates the Billy Meier case. He's the writer and co-producer of the award-winning feature-length documentary, The Silent Revolution of Talk, as well as the writer, producer, and narrator of the DVD, The Meier Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival. Michael says the reason for the singularly authentic Billy Meier UFO contacts is to help us on Earth assure our very threatened future survival. I know I flubbed that quite a bit. I might even just re-record it, but please welcome to the show, Michael Horn. How are you, Michael?
Hi, I'm fine, Mark. Thank you. It's no problem. There's just a lot of tongue-twisting stuff that goes on.
It's like, you know, I look at Billy's last name, and I always want to say Meier, because my son's last name is Ramiel, and it has the it's Aramaic. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun, you know. Mm. But whenever I look at it, I'm automatically leaning towards a different pronunciation. So I'm always in the back of my head thinking, did I say it like my friend Meier? You know,
but, it's actually the right pronunciation.
Meier, right?
Yeah, it okay. is actually. Yeah, even good. In German.
Yeah. It's a good name, and it's a name that we were talking a little bit about that goes back all the way to my when I worked in a store called Futons in Paradise, believe it or not. Yeah. And you would have liked the store. It was in Long Beach, New York, and we were pretty much the only place where it was basically a head shop, and we sold a lot of metaphysical books, and we got to meet a lot of really interesting people. So first and foremost, I really do want to say thank you so much for coming on here to talk about all of this. It is very important stuff, and the more I look into it, the more I realize how much I forgot about the Billy Meier case. I call it a case, but, you know, the I don't even know what to call this. The
It's called the Billy Meier Contacts, but it is indeed more commonly known as the Billy Meier UFO case or the Billy Meier case. And, you know, that kind of condenses it for people. So it's not incorrect.
Now, first and foremost, how did you get involved with Billy Meier? Like, was he on your radar? Like, is he somebody who you knew about and then kind of?
No.
Okay.
No. What happened? I was living in L.A. at the time. 1979, I walked into a metaphysical bookstore.
Futons of Paradise?
I time traveled over to the East Coast. Well, I'd lived in New York City, but I missed your place there when I was living there in the 60s. But in 79, I walked into the Bodhi Tree. And as I walked in the door, took a few steps, there facing me on a low-lying shelf was this coffee table-sized color photograph on a book, coffee table book. And it was Billy Meier's one of his UFO photos that happened to also have a French Mirage jet in it. And I didn't know quite what it was at the time. I learned when I opened the book and went through. And what it was the first photo book that was put out in the, you know, about 1979, somewhere in there, by the lead investigator, Wendell Stevens, along with Lee and Britt Elders, who were part of his team. And they, in this book, had a good, you know, smattering of Meyer's remarkable UFO photos, which happened to remain the clearest ever taken to this day. And we're talking about, these are photos that were taken with, you know, regular cameras, not digital equipment. And in there as well was information on other evidence in the case, metal samples that had been analyzed at IBM. There were sound recordings referred to. There were quotes in the book from some of the alleged extraterrestrials pertaining to what their particular reason, mission, if you will, was in contacting this man, Meyer. And so it was completely engrossing. I had to have the book, bought it on the spot, but it would take another 7 years or so before I would get the next piece of the puzzle, which would come in the form of 1,800 pages of, let's say, loosely translated from German to English, contact reports or contact notes, which were the conversations, purported conversations, between this man, Billy Meyer, and the extraterrestrial human beings that he was meeting with. And these would cover a period of approximately 3 years, from 75 to 78. And that would be the next body of material that I would get into that would lead me farther and further in this whole pursuit.
So these 1,800 pages, you said that they were loosely translated from German. Does Billy speak German, or what is his native language?
His native language is German. Most commonly with his own associates, he speaks Swiss German, a dialect, a kind of strange sounding dialect. He also, of course, speaks High German, and he can speak English, but he prefers, in terms of being fluid with his thoughts, to speak in German. But he understands English pretty well, and he can speak it as well.
You know, I remember we sold a videotape, and I bet you I still have it around here, like a VHS copy of it. Mm-hmm. And looking at the footage, I just remember back then thinking the Billy Meyer stuff is different. It's there's, you know, and you know that, of course, but yeah. it's almost as though it's too good. Like, it's too much right. to believe. It seems like it's just like, wow, why all of this and why him? Which is why my first reaction, even then, I'm not ashamed to admit it, because I think we all have to say this at some point, is you just don't believe it. It's too good to be true, and especially as a New Yorker. But over time, I remember, and we were talking about a little bit of media. I'm fast-forwarding a little bit, but I remember when I first got online, like fast internet, you know. Right. And I remember one of the first things that I personally think the internet was developed for, the JFK assassination research, UFO mm-hmm. research, and, you know, adult stuff. So, right. But the Billy Meyer thing was one, probably definitely a top 10 thing that going into, you know, Alta Vista, whatever existed back then, to find out, you know, what information is out there. And I did dive into it more throughout the late 90s. And I remember just being convinced that it was not a hoax, that this was, in fact, real. And by that point, all of this stuff came out, the 1,000 photographs, the analysis of everything. And, you know, fast forward to now, it's all been scrutinized, and it's all been and please correct me if I'm wrong. It's all been scrutinized. And it's all been proven to be legitimate. There's no hoax that can just be found.
None.
Unless that's it's right. your. The only way there's a hoax is if you say, well, it's just too good to be true.
Well, you've hit on a lot of things, Mark, because actually that's the problem a lot of people have, because they're really, while people are interested in the whole UFO issue and phenomenon, they really are kind of never really expecting to find the real thing, because in the back of people's minds, and this includes scientists and people at SETI and everything as well, if it was really true, if there really was something, we'd already know about it. It'd be the biggest story in history. So people are saturated with distraction, disinformation, and entertainment. They want to be scared. They want to spend their time chasing lights in the sky and running in circles. It's just, unfortunately, a huge part of what has happened to human consciousness. And so this element of too good to be true, can you imagine that? Here's a man, a one-armed man living in the boonies in up in rural Switzerland, who for over 77 years claims he's been in personal face-to-face contact with human beings from another star system, and he's proved it. And I mean, he's proved it. I'll diverge only to tell you that 2.5 years ago on a Saturday morning, I got a kind of confrontational call from a gruff-sounding fellow who said, "Hey, I'm an investigator. You represent this Billy Meyer thing?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, are you willing to talk to me? Because I think it could be a hoax." Well, I won't take you through every step here. But 7 months later, that man, after we'd spoken for a couple months, he disappears and he calls me back and he says, "I'm going to tell you who I am and I'm going to tell you about your Billy Meyer case." I said, "Go ahead." "Okay, I was the top investigator and supervisor for the United States Air Force Office of Special Investigation."
Oh my God. Wow.
"Yeah, we have nothing to do with UFOs. We're tasked with protecting the country." And he said, "This stuff with Billy Meyer, you know, it caught my interest. I'm not into UFOs, but I thought this has got to be an elaborate hoax. So after you and I spoke, I started to research his 1964 evidence, information, the interview in a newspaper in India, the fact that he had 80 photos at 1964 with UFOs, and there's still a dozen of those original photos, and there was a woman referred to who was a child at the time, and you said she was now a former UN ambassador. I checked it all out, and I'm going to tell you this. The Billy Meyer case is 100% ironclad authentic, and I will take on any skeptics in your behalf."
And this is a skeptic saying this.
Yep. I will safely say now, my friend Joe, who I speak with every Saturday morning since then, is a former skeptic. He told me, after he told me that, he said, and by the way, he sent me his credentials. It wasn't snowing me. He says, "Check your email." And there was all the stuff, rave reviews from the military, this man. So he then said to me, "Look, I'll tell you what else I did. I went online after I determined that this was real." He says, "I watched every video I could get of Billy Meyer." And he said, "Look, I'm a guy that sat in the room personally supervising, vetting politicians, government officials, military people, political candidates, people who may be spies or moles." He says, "That Billy Meyer is the most honest man I have ever seen."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had authentication as evidence going back 40 years. And then even just a few years ago, another guy, actually two people, one from South America, one from Japan, an English-speaking guy in Japan, they analyzed two different photos and one of the videos, films, actually, Meyer took. And they used the state-of-the-art technology. They showed that Meyer had somehow, you know, produced with just absolutely stone cold authentic stuff. And that's the easy part of the case, the UFOs, because yeah, it's ironclad. But then you get to the next thing, which you alluded to, Mark, which was prophetically accurate scientific information. And when I wrote that original blurb about the 26,000 pages, Meyer has now published over 45,000 pages of information, and in the few thousand, maybe five or six, available in English, we've already culled over 250 specific examples of error-free, prophetically accurate scientific information pertaining to virtually every planet in the solar system, to black holes, to discoveries that he publishes 60 or more years before so-called official discovery. Iron friggin' clad.
And this is an individual who has no formal training, right?
Nope.
Is he channeling this? Is just being given to him?
No, it isn't channeling. What it is, he gets his information in a couple ways. Now, he was he claims, first contacted when he was a five-year-old boy. It was a little strange for him, and he had to consult with his parish priests. He was raised in, you know, rural Switzerland, and he, from
the
age of
five, was like, geez,
it must have been quite interesting. in some ways, very idyllic, and you know, and kind of strange. But what happened was he was initially contacted telepathically. He heard an elderly man's voice speaking to him in Swiss German in his head, and then shortly thereafter, he is out playing in the forest, and he's wandering around, and there in a clearing is a pear-shaped craft with an elderly-looking guy in what Meyer describes as looking like a, what did he call it, a deep-sea diver suit without a helmet.
Hmm.
And the man is standing there, and he said he was just a completely benevolent individual. I had no fear of him. I walked up to him, and he spoke to me, and that began 11 years of tutoring, mentoring with this man, Svath, who took me many places on our planet and off, who taught me many, many, many things and showed me many things from the far distant past we don't even know about in history. He showed me things that would come in the future, which have unfortunately perfectly error-free been happening, and I've written a lot about this. He told me things that would happen in my own life, which did occur. And he was my first teacher. Then my second teacher was a woman named Asket, starting when I was 16. And that went on for 11 years. And then a woman named Semyaze in 1975, who picked it up from there. And these people, I meet with them face to face. They are flesh and blood people. It's voluntary. There's nothing like an abduction. Mm-hmm. And it isn't channeling. In other words, they have conversations, and Meyer transcribes them after the fact in a way that's very interesting. I won't take up a lot of time with that, but he transcribes.
Talk about whatever you want. It's...
okay. Well, what happens is, since he was a child, he was trained to telepathically identify and understand the meaning of, translate, over 5 million symbol images, million, maybe far more than that. So what happens after he's had the conversation? In the early days, these were happening more on board their craft. And then as he became older and everything, more of them would happen in his office, and they would simply appear in his office and all. And that led to some funny things.
Wow.
But yeah. And so what happened was, as I say, even in the early days of it, he would go back to the office when these contacts were happening, either in their craft or out somewhere remotely in nature where they could speak. And then they had recorded them. They would transmit them to him telepathically, not in German, but rather in these images, in these very specific symbols, which he understood. And remember, this is a one-armed man. He would receive them telepathically, simultaneously translating into conversational form at about 100 words per minute German. Which, with all the cap locks and everything, and we had video of that as well, of his, you know, demonstrating how he types with one hand. It's and it's like the problem, you know, I'll jump to this aspect of it. This is so real and so unavoidably real, which is the reason most people have never heard about it. This is the most suppressed information on the planet, considering this is going on already over 77 years, and you can only get smatterings of it if you look it up and somewhere you find the video, or somehow you get to my website or their website or whatever. But Meyer has survived 23 attempts on his life.
I've read this, and I can't believe that. That's, I mean, I can believe it,
yeah.
But it's insane is what I mean.
It's intense. And why is it that people would want to kill the man? Why is it that we've never heard about? And then we start to get into what this material is about, and then we know why it's been kept from us.
Can I just ask you? I'm sorry.
Sure. Anything.
So is it Billy's purpose to relay this information? Or
yes.
So, and is he choosing to share? Or is he just, like, is he, I know nothing about him as a man. Is he just going, you know, he's like, you know what, for the goodness of mankind, I'm going to share this information? Or is it his purpose to do this?
It's all of that, because this is, it'll sound a little funny to say it, it's an enormously ancient mission that he is the seventh, in our history, the seventh contact person slash prophet who has worked with these people. We know the names of five of the previous other ones, and it is... during this period of time in our electronic age that it was determined this would be the final contact between these advanced people and a man of Earth for the purpose specifically of getting this information into our world to help us without interfering. They're not coming to save us, but to try to assist us to survive. And Meyer, when you get into this, starting in his own personal publication of the information began in 1951 with warnings. He's the first person. Unnatural man-made climate change, global warming, mega catastrophic environmental destruction, the ozone being destroyed by atomic radiation in addition to the gases, the connection between petroleum extraction and the damage to the the damage that would lead to earthquakes and upheavals on the planet, volcanic eruptions, and so many specific things they've warned and warned and warned about. And he sent information around beginning 1951, 1958. He, with the help of his parish priest, with the help of a school teacher, sent thousands of copies of warning letters around the world that were basically tossed in the garbage.
So are we actually listening to him? And I mean, is the government really listening very closely, intently, and just not giving him any credit whatsoever?
There are elements in our government and in other governments that know. The Russians listen more intently because certain things we know about that. But an overture was made in 1979 by the representatives from Meyer, these investigators, to the Carter administration, which turned down the offer of contact with that extraterrestrial race. It would have changed history. It would have changed. We would not be on the verge now of literally destroying ourselves. And people will see more of the reality of this within the next, let's say, 10 to 15 months or so, as certain events occur, some of which have already occurred, but there are more coming. And we will rue the day that our greedy politicians, religious leaders, and military intelligence people ignored, suppressed, or tried to kill this man, because we are now heading into a period where there will be simply unstoppable events, and you will be able to take that to the bank. We've published a lot of what those will be, and some of them, of course, have already transpired. And Meyer's own first teacher, Svath, warned, starting in about 1945 with letters he gave to young Meyer that have subsequently been published. He warned about so many things, many of which have already occurred. And so, yeah, it's that's why I've said, you know, to you and other people, this is the single most important event in human history. And
there was one thing I read about, and I don't know if this is true, but it was saying that Billy's full name is Edward Albert Meyer Zafarahu. I'm butchering that.
Yeah.
And that name can be found in ancient documents. And I don't know if this is just sci-fi or
no,
if there's legitimacy to this.
There is at least one document.
It was found.
Yeah. It's a very old piece of evidence that was inscribed with the names of the seven prophets in this lineage, the last one that would be Billy. And it was found by somebody who actually sent it to Meyer for his keeping. But the only reason I don't do a lot with that kind of thing is because I don't want people to have to think they have to believe something based on those types of anecdotal things when the evidence screams loudly. Yeah.
No, it's just, it kind of adds to the entire message and legitimizes it even more, if that's possible. Oh, yeah. So I think what it brings us to also, I think you're alluding to, is something you refer to as the Meyer prophecies.
Yes.
And one other thing I just wanted to ask about that kind of, what does Billy think of all of this? Like, was there a period of time where he thought that he was going insane, or is he just very well aware that what's going on is, well, it's okay. It's out there.
It's a combination, because when he was young at first, he thought there might have been something wrong with him that he heard a man speaking to him. When he went to his parish priest, to his father Zimmerman, the parish priest assured him.
A Jew for a priest? Jewish, so I can say that.
I know. It's actually the Zimmerman name is actually, you know, a German lineage. And of course, you know, many, you know, German Jews and others have names that have that. In the whole deal, but what we can say for sure is from the information that Svath, Meyer's earliest teacher, had telepathically contacted Father Zimmerman, who wasn't a Jew, but he was, you know, German Presbyterian or what, Protestant or whatever it was, and he had. I think what we are being told here is that Father Zimmerman himself probably had an ancient connection to this that he himself may not have been aware of, but his consciousness was such that he could, without freaking out himself, deal with that kind of a contact and understanding on a profound level. This is a higher, more developed being. This is safe. And young Edward, because Svath said to him, young Edward, because he wasn't called Billy at that time, is going to come to you, you know, concerned about this, and this is who I am, and this is what it's about. And so Zimmerman was a kind of jovial guy in many ways. We have photographs of him in different places on the site and in films I've made and all. And he was just a very good-natured, compassionate fellow who understood that his, you know, his parishioners were not in a place where they could understand this level of higher truth. But he tried to minister to them with the understandings so he could help them without, you know, freaking them out or anything. So indeed, young Edward, when he came at first, he was a bit freaked out. And then when he was assured of this, he entered into those contacts with Svath. And through that, he knew right away that this was benevolent. This was helpful. This was a very good human being who wanted to teach him. And he graduated. He had many things done that were technological in basis when he was with Svath, so that his own consciousness, his mind, could develop at a rapid rate. Within 2 years' time, when he was seven, he then had the thinking capacity of a 35-year-old man. And in this whole dynamic here, he went into a lot of areas of discussion, because Svath was showing him things. It was he was having to, you know, question things he'd been taught in his, you know, own terrestrial life. And then he's shown things over the years that really changed his understanding of history and religion and many things that would profoundly affect him and cause him to, you know, always questioning and always being given answers appropriate to what he was asking. And a childhood experience with a highly developed person who knew things, who taught him advanced psychology, who taught him things that our own psychology and psychiatry know nothing about in terms of the real in-depth aspects of consciousness and the unconscious and subconscious. And, oh, my gosh, so many things. And all the things I'm talking to you about, the beautiful part of this, the core of the case, it's not the UFOs, it's not the extraterrestrials, it's not even the fantastic prophecies and scientific information. It's the belief-free, non-religious, spiritual teaching, which is literally the instruction of how consciousness works, how thinking works, how the thinking leads to the thoughts, that leads to the actions in our life. Most of the time, all of this is happening basically unconsciously, but the spiritual teaching shows us how we can bring into conscious awareness this process and much, much more that so clarifies what the laws of creation are, what, if you will. I mean, we're familiar with a couple. Let's say we're familiar with the law of cause and effect, a profound law of life.
Sure.
You can't violate that without consequences because, you know, to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And there's far more to that than we're even taught in, you know, that simple aphorism, that law of physics there. There is so much more that just delights the mind. And it's not, we're not spoken to in a convoluted, highfalutin language, you know, where psychologists, psychiatrists, or scientists like to elevate themselves above people. And this is specifically mentioned in this teaching where one of Meyer's, the father of one of Meyer's most recent contact people explains to him, because Billy asks him at a point where he's explaining something very scientific. And he says, well, it's interesting. You're just explaining this in practical, you know, common language. He says, right. Well, it's necessary to speak plainly, clearly, without misleading or trying to elevate oneself above others, because that is not true science. The scientists of your world do that to, you know, create an effect with people. But the real truth can always be conveyed directly and clearly and in plain language. Some of the language, sometimes it's not absolutely simple, but it's plain language.
That's interesting. So,
all right, and when you read this then, Mark, and then when you read what is really something beyond what our psychologists and psychiatrists even know about the nature of consciousness, and you're getting these insights because it provokes the thinking, and now you're conscious of your thinking. Not only are you conscious, you learn to take heed when they say that we need to learn to control our thoughts on a moment-by-moment basis, because they will indeed create every aspect of our world, personal and collective.
So what does Billy think of the state of things right now?
Well, unfortunately, if you will, the prophecies have ceaselessly fulfilled. And these warnings don't just come from Meyer. They literally originate as much as 10, 12, and 13,000 years ago. I won't go too far into that unless it's necessary, but he is sorrowful about it because his own mission has been to bring this forward. I joke sometimes to say my mission has been to prove the prophecies wrong, which means that Meyer's work, my work on his behalf, and anybody else doing this, that we would sufficiently awaken people to pursue the discovery of the reality and truthfulness of this material, and thereby people would awaken to want to change the very bad path that we are on as a humankind. Unfortunately, the efforts of the very, very heavy obstruction to this through secret military, through high level of corporate media, religious organizations, groups that are highly powerful financially, who have a vested interest in not letting people even come close to the real truth, that has been a very powerful thing. I mean, the fact that they couldn't kill him, they tried every means of assassinating his character, and I mean, tried to rather kidnap his children to discredit him at every opportunity. But because there have been a good number of independent, scientific-minded people who are courageous, my military friend here, Joe, and others who've come forward to say, hey, wait a minute, this is real, this evidence. I've got a former NASA aerospace engineer, the former vice president and director of operations for an aerospace company here in Arizona. I mean, people have come forward, a retired lawyer, prosecutor, former aeronautical engineer from Defense Department person from McDonnell Douglas. There are those people who've come forward and they said, look, this is real. And, you know, they did their thing and they went up and they moved on. They didn't, some are still involved, but a lot of people simply, you know, made their determinations and moved on because there wasn't anything much more they could do. I have taken on every skeptic that has, that I've been able to find who's voiced an unjustified, unwarranted attack against Meyer. And I will safely say I've defeated their arguments and them, and they will no longer even try to discredit the case anymore. And there's another reason they won't. They don't want anybody hearing about it because it is incontrovertibly authentic. And what are they going to do? James Randi, I kicked his butt. An organization connected with him, CFI West IIG, and I totally rubbed their face in their lies. Stephen Novella, a physician skeptic who made bizarre statements about this, they won't respond.
Does he still get death threats? I mean,
oh, sure. The last attempt was 2-3 years ago, September. I saw the bullet hole on that one. They still have that. And here's the thing. You know who the worst enemies of this are? It's these fools in ufology and the paranormal. Not a one of them, I'm telling you, and I've told it to them, and I'm waiting for them to try and, you know, take me on it. But I've told them, you're all liars and frauds, every one of you, because each one of you knows that the Meyer case is singularly authentic, and you keep on quacking about all of this stuff that has no evidence, nothing that can be proved, or old things like Roswell. Yeah, okay, there were crashes. What are you going to do with it? And you try to suck up the oxygen on this. You suppress the Meyer material. If asked, you will attack him. And not a one of you, not a one of you has got the courage to say, hey, Billy Meyer, yeah, he's the guy.
Well, I mean, the probably the most current thing that happened to the UFO, I guess, community is the founding of the To the Stars Academy.
Yes.
And do they at all talk about Billy Meyer? Do you know?
Of course they won't, because this is, when you look at the people involved in that, apart from the dopey front man.
I mean, it's part of the media as well. I mean, not to cut you off there, but, you know, I mean, they are heavily affiliated with the History Channel.
Yes,
They're also heavily affiliated with CNN.
Yes, and they are heavily affiliated with the intelligence agencies. You've got 5 or 6 people that are so-called former spooks on that, including Luis Elizondo. You've got the dopey Tom DeLonge, who uses Meyer's photos without ever giving him credit for it. These people are part of the UFO cover-up. They are part of the disinformation. Believe me, I wish they would take me on. Wish they'd sue me for slander. I'll take and kick their butts up and down.
The thing is, you know, I was really liking what the To the Stars Academy was all about up until, I guess sometimes what I'll do is I'll watch news of some sort, and then I start breaking it down. I start saying, all right, is this an ad? Or is this news?
Right.
And CNN goes, you know, new UFO something or another. And I'm like, CNN? Yeah. I know CNN will play pretty much anything, you know, to the highest bidder. So I'm like, all right, so now they're talking about UFOs here. And this is CNN. And we're talking about the word disclosure was just said. And and the next thing I know, you know, a week later, the History Channel has this new miniseries. And I have to really, you know, question, I'm trying to remember what it's called, but when, you know, when it's a news piece that's purchased, it's kind of, it's a type of ad that, you know, that's purchased, like kind of like, you know, if, sugar companies were doing this or, like corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup and stuff like that.
Well, remember, the latest thing, of course, is the U.S. Navy's revealing UFO secrets. All of this is a very, very carefully orchestrated disinformation, distract, and entertain program. You will never hear the Meyer case presented on the History Channel or with the Giorgio Tsakolis, whatever his name is. This is very, very carefully orchestrated. You know, you're in a position, you can invite somebody from To the Stars Academy on.
I've reached out. They won't talk
okay.
to me.
No response yet?
No, they actually respond. I get, you know what it is? I come from publishing. So, and I have a few, like, decent contacts in Manhattan here and there. And people, right. so I was able to get an email address at least, you know, the right person to reach out to PR wise. And they were just like, well, you know, we don't have a representative right now who's, you know, willing to speak publicly like that on, you know, a
get
podcast.
Tom DeLonge.
Well, I can't see Tom DeLonge doing much of anything unless, you know, it's yeah, high publicity.
Yeah. But this is the thing is, this is what I'm telling you. This is a disinformation campaign. It's extremely cynical because all of these people know about Meyer. And the fact that they suppress it means they are willing to let the worst imaginable things come down on the population of this country and the rest of the world just for power and control. They are liars. They are deceivers. And here's something else. They are absolute traitors to humankind.
What would happen, though, if they embraced, hypothetically, mm-hmm. if the To the Stars Academy were to approach Billy and say, we'd like to work with you, you know, in this whole thing. I mean, sure. everybody kind of wins here. I don't really understand. I mean, the To the Stars Academy all of a sudden, you know, has more to talk about.
Here's the answer to that. This is a company that went online to raise at least hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You saw that, right? They were publicly, they were asking the public to invest in their company.
Yeah. So they don't need to, quote unquote, work with Billy. All they need to do. Because at this point, the UFO cover-up is solely about the ongoing Meyer contact, 77 years still ongoing. So if those people weren't a bunch of crap-ass traitors to this country and to the humankind, they would say to their to the public, hold your donations. I don't need them. This send them over here because this is genuine. Read that information. It's available for free. This is what extraterrestrials are talking about, trying to tell us. And we're sorry we wasted your time with our GD, misleading, entertainment-oriented, spook-contaminated BS about UFOs and ETs. We apologize to all of humankind. We should have done it long ago. Sorry, it's too late, but hey, forgive us.
Yeah. I mean, it also delegitimizes all of their work. I mean, what they released with that chiclet thing, I'm sure you've seen the video of it. Who cares? Like, it doesn't do anything for me because, all right, you know, that's interesting. It's interesting that we have something tangible to look at on our screen, but this doesn't do anything. You know, it's,
you've got nothing.
You're talking about information. It's different.
And the best photographic film evidence ever. That stupid Pac-Man kind of crap.
Yeah, it's like night vision or
50s
something.
Or so. You take a look at any one of Meyer's photos or his films, and you go, wait a minute. Why are these clowns bothering us with this BS? But people, I'm sorry. I'm going to earn myself no friends by saying it.
Never people apologize here.
Okay. People are stupid. The American public as a mass consciousness has been dumbed down to the lowest common denominator where now we are on the verge of the people here, as Meyer foretold 61 years ago, of being biochipped. There's a coming global financial crash upon us. There are unstoppable environmental and geopolitical events coming our way, and the poor American public who got themselves all excited about their techno toys because now they can mumble to each other on their phones and they can be distracted 24/7 with irrelevant crap. And instead, the truth is not interesting enough. It's too good to be true. The photos are too good to be true. The videos are too. How could this man be the one? Why did, if it was true, wouldn't we know? Wouldn't the president? I mean, all of the, you know, the little bromides that get tossed out there. Human beings of Earth, if you want to not be part of the stupid masses, find out what you could do because it's gonna kick our asses. I mean, I'm sorry there.
No, it's fine.
Late night poetry or whatever. But I'm just telling it like it is. There is nothing here that's assailable in the Meyer case. All the attacks about models and special effects and all destroyed. Those things have no more legs. They've been ended, not only by the original analyses spanning 40 years, but when the USAF guy comes forward and says, this is real, and I will take on any skeptic, which he did. Two guys, he demolished them. And now we'd have no more.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, this existed before the technology to create such fakery existed.
Yes.
I often get into this conversation with people where they'll say, and I know I'm guilty of it. I'll look at something and I'll just go, it's too realistic. It looks too good. Yep. And that's the question. You know, that's the thing here. Well, if a UFO hypothetically were to land in my backyard and I grab my camera and I shoot it in 4K perfect video, right. I upload it, the first comment there is going to be fake.
It's a hoax. Yep.
Because, I mean, we're talking, you know, if the evidence is that, you know, good, then the fakery, you know, then it must be fake. We will not accept it. We will never accept it, maybe. And that's the real scary part of it all.
I'm sorry, but you're right. You're right. And this is a testament to how successfully the powers that be have co-opted everything and made people stupid. They can't think for themselves. They're done with that. And so they repeat all this stuff. And they repeat every idiotic thing online, every stupid conspiracy. Oh, it's Q today who's telling us about, you know, all this
stuff. QAnon,
Oh, yeah. I mean, just.
It is. No, I'm kidding.
I just wish that there were enough people who had the courage even to ask about this and to challenge it. I tell people, look, you cannot offend me and you can't insult me. If you want to question or challenge anything in this case, I'm ready, all ears, and I will be polite. I will speak to you kindly. And if you've got the intelligence to want to refute this or anything else, let's do that. But please, people, smarten up. You have no idea what's coming your way, our way. And even, I'll just tell you the truth, even for those people, many of us who know some of the things coming, it doesn't mean we're immune from the consequences. It means we hopefully have some better tools to work with. And in this day and age, the best thing people can do is start to bond together with like-minded people who want to help each other. Because from here on, after 2020, it's up for grabs. And Meyer was told that specifically. He said, you know, the probability that if the people in America don't change for the better, after 2020, the superpower USA could cease to exist. Not meaning that we're immediately nuked, but that being a United States of America.
Right.
Because we are going to have two civil wars here. Meyer published it the first time in 81, the second time in 87. I laughed at it out loud. I'm not laughing anymore. And we will also find that our superpower status is no. China and Russia are going to, you know, eat our breakfast for us, and we're going to go to our room. And that's also because of stupid things that, and I'm not Democrat or Republican, but the current administration and president trying to push China around, trying to provoke war with Russia. The warnings in the prophecies go back eons about how badly this is going to turn out for us and the rest of the world. Now, nothing to believe, but people may want to look into it and start thinking and getting rid of this distracting crap that has them eating fast food online day in and day out and nonsense TV and media, where our rights are being stripped away, our environment is just being savaged. And we were warned about this.
I call it correction. I mean, it's a correction coming. We need this. And I do have faith. I'm one of the few people who has faith in the future, in the next generation. I have a 10-year-old, I'm sorry, an 11-year-old son now. Right. And he is, him and some of his friends anyway, are real thinkers. They're much better thinkers than I was when I was their age. And, you know, I ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm not getting, you know, I'm not getting the stupid answer. I'm getting the, you know, I want to be an architect. And he's, you know, he has his own computer like every spoiled brat in the world. And they, you know, I mean, he's working on AutoCAD. You know, he's learning the actual aspect of things and actually also physically building things. So he also has no interest in this, the race war that seems to be on everybody's tongue these days.
Right,
the,
right.
The trigger happy everybody, we have to, you know, it just seems as though every single person is completely pissed off at each other. And that's this next generation just doesn't care about any of that. So I have faith that being a generation Xer, I have a faith that the generation that my generation has created will hopefully fix the psychosis of our nation, but that's not going to fix all the other problems.
There's a problem, and that is that generation and the one above it and below it, they're inheriting this mess. And they're inheriting something that is got a mega amount of energy behind it that's ceaselessly rolling forward. Now, in every generation, there are those who are indeed equipped to, if they get the right nurturing and everything else and education and all, to help rectify. But it's an unfair burden for these generations that they're facing, because this is nothing that, you know, 11-year-old kids, there are many of them who will ultimately, you know, they'll have some of the next answers and some of the next things, but they've got to have an awful lot of support, really, because the society is falling apart. The coming global financial crash is going to affect the older generations. And,
I understand where you're coming from.
It's hard because the kids of today, and there are a lot of, you know, kind of advanced little beings popping in, and they will. This isn't about the so-called, for me, you know, the indigo kids and crystal, because that's nonsense. That's just the garbage of backstage New Age Hollywood mothers who, oh, my little kid is so special and precious. Yeah, tell me that right after.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what we should do is recognize, like you have recognized here, you've got bright, alert, conscious little being in your life, you know, and he's probably got some friends like him.
And don't worry, when he hits puberty, he'll be a little dick, you know, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but maybe, but, you know, if you're understanding, you know the way some of that goes, so you can work with him, you can be there for him, and at least he will have a conscious father, you know, rather than this unfortunate thing that so many kids have, which are unconscious parents and ill-equipped. But you're right about something, and that is the future will be rosy, but not if this information is correct. And this is bizarre to say it. There's about 800 years of grief from humankind having succumbed and perpetuated stupid, dead-end, delusional religions and politics, because all of those methodologies, all those formats foment and perpetuate conflict, power hunger, fear, competition that is not based in anything good, but rather my God, my religion, my party, instead of what is universally true and applies to every human being on the planet. And if we can't extricate ourselves from that kind of thinking, which has gotten us in this mess, then the grief, it's going to be very, very, very painful.
If somebody wants to learn more about the Billy Meyer prophecies, is there a singular spot? Is there a website, a particular book? Is there a group of books?
Yeah, well, I tell you what.
I also want to mention, you have several books. I'm going to put a link to them in the show notes. But and you've written quite a lot about this exactly, specifically.
Well, those are mainly not my books. I have two books out. One is a way that people, anybody, can use their cell phone interactively for goal setting to be their own authority in their life. I created this actually in 1985. I was doing personal sessions in video on this called Future Self, and then I figured out how anybody could do this for themselves using their cell phone, their tablet, whatever. That's my book. And then I have another book that's called The Bulbheads and the Pinheads, a children's book, and for adults as well, about how the people who create ideas have to learn how to get past those who pop their idea balloons. And so those are mine, but I've made five different documentaries about this. And I'll answer your question. The two best places to go are theyflyblog.com, which is very current, and we're constantly putting out material and discussing it internationally, and theyfly.com website. So theyflyblog.com and theyfly.com. And I will say this, if anybody who's listening to your show who hears this, who writes me and just simply says that they heard, you know, this show and they're interested, if I get it as an email, I'm going to send them a link to a free download of a film we made. We filmed it in 2006, released it in 2008, and I say this unequivocally, it is the best UFO documentary ever made because it's on the Meyer case with plenty of Billy, scientific stuff, etc. Yes, I have newer ones as well, but if people watch this and then they want to go, you know, to other stuff, that's fine. They will see what we told people what Meyer was warning about, mm-hmm. back, things that are now, some of which have already happened, some of which are underway. The whole thing, and this, you know, this will upset a lot of nice people that are, let's say, politically left or Democratic. The illegal immigration thing that was foretold in 48 by Billy's teacher, and what he said was, there will be an insane woman in Germany who will open the floodgates to a migrant crisis, which will allow a small number of genuine, refugees from tyranny, but mainly economic refugees, criminals, and terrorists. And this will ultimately spread worldwide. And by the time into the third millennium, which we're in, there will ultimately be over 300 million refugees of this form. And this will destroy... This is on the verge of destroying Europe and Scandinavia.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And what's happening here is on the verge of destroying our country and doing another thing. The polarization with this is fomenting, giving more fuel for the Civil War. This is not an accident. A one side in the political spectrum here is pushing to destroy the country, quite literally. When you destroy your borders, you destroy your country. There's no, you can't go to Mexico or Honduras and just walk in and decide, I'm going to work here. Your butt will be in prison, and you'll be forgotten for a long time. But the people who have no knowledge about how this works, how history works, how the integrity of a country is preserved through borders and appropriate legal means of immigration, it's just feel-good politics, and then the feel-good stops as soon as you say, no problem, we're directing the people, they're coming to live in your home. No, it's somebody else's problems suddenly.
Right. And it becomes the whole, like, NIMBY thing. Like, as long as I can only, you know, as long as I only have to watch it on the news and it doesn't affect me, people really don't care where they're going.
Yeah, we're real humanists, and we're, you know, all for everybody and equality, and we don't understand how it works, and it's unfortunate, and we're gonna see the worst of it in our lifetimes. It's unfortunate that it's playing out now, but this is nothing yet, because here's the problem: so many of those people that come across, and by the way, I don't fault that people are hard workers, but that's not the point. Stay in your country, work hard to bring your country up to the standards that you want it to be. But the problem, and I've worked side by side, I've worked in car washes, I've been a janitor, I've been a maintenance man, all this stuff, and I've worked with lovely people who came here illegally and, you know, just violated the laws, and I wasn't calling them names. They were sweet people. But so many of them, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be scapegoated. they are going to be, I'm just telling you, they're going to be the target of things when these frustrated lunatics on the other end of the political spectrum have broken loose and now are combating that which was started in terms of, you know, military type terrorism, domestic terrorism from the left. You're going to find there's plenty of waiting in the wings, far right lunatics, and then they'll go after and scapegoat people who really just, you know, their crime was coming here illegally, but they're not the ones that are out in the streets.
Yeah, they're not the ones you have to, you know, the majority of them,
right.
You know, is yeah. not something I think we have to genuinely worry about. Of course, the sheer numbers can be staggering.
And there are plenty who violated the laws, who've robbed, raped, pillaged, and the rest. And the numbskulls who do their sanctuary cities are basically saying,
"Oh my God, I live in one practically."
Oh, I never know how people are going to feel when I talk about it, but it's like this idiocy of, "No, we're going to protect. We're humane." Really? So somebody who violated the laws of the country, came here, broke the laws, and has harmed a citizen, you're going to give us your phony liberal humaneness? No. Get the hell out of here.
If you see what's going on in Minnesota, I mean, it's a lot of craziness. I mean, as a Jew, you know, I know about one particular story, and not to totally steer this towards politics, but a friend of mine who lives there, she went to a local Jewish community center to watch a particular Muslim speak at the Jewish community center, which is kind of strange. They didn't like her because she's a bit right-leaning, and they actually asked her to leave. A Jewish woman being thrown out of the JCC by Muslims. Oh, so, you know, this is the world we're living in. We're allowing it to happen. So, I mean, I live in a very Jewish community, but I have a mosque a block and a half away from me. So.
This is such a dicey thing because, first of all, the first person I know of to warn about it, 1958, Billy Meyer, radical Islam, and he made a distinction. He said Islamists, radical Islam and Islamists are not Muslim. Now, even Muslims don't adhere to what the true teaching of Muhammad was. Here's the real kicker. Muhammad was one of the seven prophets, and his whole thing, which was the same thing from Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, the real name of the man who we falsely call Jesus Christ, somebody who never lived. There was never a man named Jesus Christ. There was a man named Emmanuel, and all of these prophets brought the same teaching that Meyer did. But these were times when nobody could read and write. There was no electronic stuff. So the opportunists took it. They corrupted it. They made it into religion. And Islam bears no real resemblance to the whole thing. And radical Islamists are not even true Muslims. But there are Muslims who are extreme but are not yet been radicalized. You've got all this. This is why, you know, why the spiritual teaching is here, so that people could finally at some point are going to go, you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is truth. And there actually is one truth, and it's not the exclusive domain of any belief system. Why don't we try to discover what universal truths are? And then we are not saying it's mine, it's this one's false, mine is right, that one's it. Let's find truth and put aside for the moment those rigid beliefs of any religion that cannot be proved to be true. And this is where I offend my religious friends. I say, look, there are people from, there are the Baha'i from Iran who are an offshoot of Islam who are persecuted by Muslims there. And I was at a presentation of art stuff, and there was a very nice erudite guy there, one of the Baha'i, and I walked up to him and I said, I just want to tell you something. I have absolutely no respect for your beliefs, and I hope you feel the same way about mine. But I like your core values. As I understand them, they have to do with family, love, service to community, peace in the world, cooperation. I said, I have nothing I could object to. You and I have the same core values. Your beliefs, I don't care about. I hope you don't care about mine, whatever they may be. And that's what I say to my friends that are Christians and Jews, essentially Mormon. I've got a good Mormon friend. Just set that stuff aside, because if beliefs were true, they wouldn't be beliefs. We don't need to believe in gravity. It's real. We know that. And everybody who has a deep belief, you may have a deep Jewish belief. Someone, my friend who's a Mormon, he's got, I say, that's fine. But if we just put the overlap on core values, we can progress in the world. Then we can, if we want to worship any way we want to worship, but we don't divide ourselves from each other. So those
are very important. Absolutely.
Yeah. The ones who came to that mosque in Minnesota, they shouldn't have, even if they were in their own mosque, you don't throw out people. You look for the commonality in the values where the goodness lies. If you are separating on the basis of this and good gosh, you know, barbaric Sharia law, get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
you know, I don't care. And listen, halal, there's things in halal that are pretty nasty.
Well, okay. I don't agree with koshering. I mean, koshering is a very violent act.
It is. And so if we're honest enough, we can say, look, I'm working out my beliefs, but you know what? The core values of humankind that are essential for love, peace, freedom, and harmony, those are some of the core ones in the spiritual teaching. They say, if you will seek these things in fellowship with other people and not seek to make people wrong or to push beliefs, how do we harmonize compromising our principles? We look to find the commonality. Wait a minute, sir, my friend, I agree with you to this point, but you know, I'm thinking if you say this, isn't that, you know, that's a putting a belief and that's causing us to be opposing each other. Why don't we go for what is the universal truth about this thing? How do we find that? Even if we struggle and disagree on that road, but if we're constantly working to refine, what is it about humankind? How is it that we all are truly of equal value? We may not be of equal opportunity, of equal creativity, of equal this, but we're essentially, as humans of this creation, we've got to be of equal value. So how do we learn to treat each other that way? How do we see that pure creational spirit, whatever you want to call that, inside of each other, so that we respect each other and we don't come to violate each other because our beliefs are different? I mean, honestly, if the golden rule was the core principle of every religion and the only thing in there, we'd be done. Treat each other the way we want to be treated. And all the rest of it, because if we find, it, as it is in the Meyer case, if it's true what some of the, who the gods of the past were and how they got here and what they've done, I mean, we would all be going, oh my goodness, really? And we go, yeah, really. So can we move on and start to get to the core thing, that golden rule relationship with each other? Because it, my mosque and your temple on the mountain, you're this and my that. Folks, that ain't
to be solved. It's time to get over it. Yeah.
You got to get over it. Just let it be, because we're killing each other off and there's no winners in that struggle. As long as we are still going to do that, there are no winners. And the warnings, the prophecies that go back thousands of years of is what's coming to some very specific countries on the face of this earth, ours included. We would like to, if we have our wits about us, delve into this and start seeing if some of this stuff just might be a better path to lean into, to create that peacefulness with each other. You know, let me jump in with this thing, and I don't mean to be on a soapbox, but in 1948, Billy Meyer's teacher gave him this long oath, over 300 specific paragraphs or statements about what was coming to the world. And, of course, a lot of that has already occurred. Now people say, well, it's backdated. Well, maybe not, because what we find out when we get to the stuff that he was talking about for these times – and this was only published a couple of years ago. I'll cede that to people. But here's what we're told, among other things in here. In the future time, after the second and third millennium, there's going to be massive upheaval on Earth. And the warning signs for this will be when, after 2015 and 2017, earthquakes in central Italy start to occur. And then the various, well, the specific volcanoes, Mount Etna, Stromboli, Vesuvius, Mount Marsili, and the Campri Flegri start to rumble and eventually all erupt. Wow. All five of those, first of all, the earthquakes in central Italy started in 2016. Hundreds of people were killed in some of the early ones.
Sure.
And as early as a week ago, Mount Stromboli erupted very forcefully. If we do not pay attention, and here's the other shoe that drops on this. When Meyer... Did he do it through like consciousness, powers, you know, telepathy? Mm-hmm. He says, oh, no. All of that, he says, that's done through time travel. And I had a feeling in the pit of my stomach that I didn't like. Why? Because in the time travel stuff, and this isn't the only time travel stuff in the Meyer material. There's some other stuff here, and it's mind-blowing. The time travel stuff is not a prophecy. It's not them looking into the future. It's them going to the future, seeing what occurs, and coming back and saying, these events occurred with certainty. This, we will put this to the test in the next 12, 15 months. We will see. When we see what happens in the world, we revisit those documents that are online, and some of which have been online for quite some time, and we're going to go, my gosh, how did he know? Because one of the things that happened to me, I reconnected with an old buddy of mine, a Dr. Weinstein. I hadn't seen him in over 50 years. He was a med student in Chicago. I was an art student. His name pops in my mind about 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is, out of nowhere. So I start Googling him. I'm searching online. I find somebody, could be him. I get an answering machine. My gosh, that's his voice. I leave a message. And then 20 minutes later, Michael, is that you? Come on over. We live in this area in L.A. Okay. What are you doing? So I start to talk to him about Billy Meyer. He says, okay, I'm not interested in that, but let's catch up with everything else. He at that time was a retired pediatrician, physician, and physicist who had gone into doing volunteer work to research throughout L.A. and California fraudulent medical things that were harming people and all this stuff. And he was responsible for actually shutting down what was called Martin Luther King Medical Center because people were dying in the emergency room. And he was the guy that ripped that out. Okay. So he's a nice conservative Orthodox Jewish guy. So we talk about other things. And one day I ask him about, well, what's the chance as a physicist life in the universe? Oh, yes, I'll talk to you about that. Certainly, all these elements are present. And he gives me a video clip. Then, in 2012, I send him something that Billy Meyer published in 1987. I had on my website since 2002. And that says, Russia will move its troops to Arkhangelsk, northern Siberia, in preparation for its attacks against Scandinavia. And I send this to him along with, from 2012, the announcement in the press that Russia had just moved their troops to Arkhangelsk. And he says, bring your camera, come over. And he gives me several minutes. He says, I just have to say, this man, Billy Meyer, no, he's not a paranoid schizophrenic lunatic. He's absolutely correct. I was in the military. I know that area is under constant cloud cover, blah, blah, blah. If the Russians have moved their troops there, they could not only enter into Scandinavia, but they could come right through Alaska and Canada and bisect the U.S., which is something is in the prophecies, by the way. And he says, our Defense Department should listen to Billy Meyer. There's nothing I've seen that he said in all this material, and I looked through it, that was negative or harmful to people. He's talking about the right things and peace and love. He says, we better pay attention to him. This was a guy that basically was telling me I was crazy.
Right.
And I get a lot of that. I don't mind. I haven't seen you in 50 years. So there's so much stuff in here, Mark.
It's so much. Like, I'm just listening to you in awe. I mean, I have a feeling we could just continue going on and on. I can't wait to dive deeper into the website theyflyblog.com, but
yeah.
I just want to thank you, Michael, for taking the time to come on here and talk about this stuff so candidly, and also going into so much, I guess, personal detail.
Well, I can't help but thank you, because you're, you know, one of those people that pops up every now and then who is intelligent, who has their own thoughts, their own mind. Thanks. They look into things. No, I mean, I'm not trying to flatter you, but look, you've just given me an hour and 20 minutes with you and your audience. As I said, if anybody who listens to you sends me an email saying, send me a free I'll send them the link to download one of our films. And then from there, I'll answer questions for free. This is not, I do all my work voluntarily. Yes, I make films and stuff. And if people buy them or Myers books, thank you very much. I can keep going. But I do everything voluntarily and for free. And I've done this now for 40 years. And I want to keep going for a few more.
Sure.
And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And I just ask people, look, stick your nose in this, challenge it. Email, I answer all my email. It takes a little time, but I will answer your questions and your challenges. And if you, my friend, are a scientist or an attorney or anybody else, and you want to take this on and you want to challenge me on it, and you, in a public forum, I will be grateful for that opportunity. You may not like the outcome, and then again, maybe you will, because you'll learn something. So here we are, and I will be glad to do this again with you anytime. And if you get, if people write questions and challenges to you, and you gather stuff as well as your own together, and you, anytime, let's do it. Because this, in my opinion, is the most important event, development, information, evidence in human history, and it's intended for one thing, and that is to help us assure our own very threatened future survival. And for that, you can have me anytime you want.
Just I appreciate it so much, Michael. You know, I clicked on the tag of Svath, and yes, the first thing that popped up was an article from October 6th, 2018. And it's very blunt. You know, it's a very blunt title, and that it says, Why UFOs Won't Matter After 2020. Right. Yes. And it's just, holy cow.
I'm gonna
that's gonna be the first thing I read when after we disconnect. And sure. I'm looking forward to it. But Michael, I really appreciate it. I know we were gonna talk about so many other things.
But this
just means I have to have you come on next time, because I want to talk about your process for relieving stress, your program that you've developed and created, things that you've developed and invented over the years. And sure, just you're a man who has way too many hats, but you have a level head. So I mean,
it's... You just reminded me, years ago I wrote a song called Hats. Woke up this morning, who shall I be? The hero, the fool. I've got more choices than lives on a cat, flirting with danger or playing it cool. If you want to find catch me, you'll need a hat too. And it goes on from there. You just reminded me of that.